Broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right, happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman, Kirk Crosby, live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, no doubt, starts now. This, my fellow Americans, is indeed the broadcast for July the 5th in the year of our Lord, 2017. This is our one of two, and our goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio in the traditions of our founding fathers. Hope you're all doing absolutely fantastic. Our goal is simple. That is to restore the republic and the traditions of our founding fathers. And I hope you had a great holiday. I know I had a fantastic 4th of July, and I sure pray you did as well. Lee Greenwood, one of the best patriotic songs in my humble opinion. Steve Voss, the other artist, doing a phenomenal job. How many of you Americans are willing to stand up for freedom, ladies and gentlemen? I know it's great to wave the flag on the 4th, and I appreciate that. Better than not waving the flag on the 4th. As Kirk Crosby would say, the good news is at least most Americans didn't choke on a hot dog and die. You know, that's the good news going on for the 4th. Most people come out of it alive. Right? Although they got these new nip bottles, people are getting drunk and nipping down these alcoholic drinks and throwing the bottles out the window so they don't get caught with an open potato. That's the bad news.
Across the plains of Texas, from sea to shining sea, from Detroit down to Houston and New York to L.A., where there's pride in every American heart, and it's time we stand and say,
I am proud to be an American, ladies and gentlemen. I know we got our problems, but I also know we live in the greatest country on the face of the earth, providing more freedom to more people in the history of the world than any other, bar none, historically speaking, that we can document. Welcome to the broadcast. We were live for the 4th of July, and we are live today as well. Hope you're absolutely doing fantastic. Now, on the 4th, we were live. And we had our guest on, Sheriff Richard Mack, Sam Bushman, and Kirk Crosby in the roundtable. We talked about Trump's rural internet initiative could cost $80 billion. And, well, right, the next line in the story after saying that Donald might spend $80 billion on it, that it's not even close to enough. These socialists will never get enough money, will they? We also talked about Congress doing a good job for a change. They're moving to stop the IRS collection of the health tax. New York Times with that, and I sure pray they get that done. Donald got his part done, put an executive order in, and said, hey, IRS, back off the people. That's a great start by the Donald, but we need it backed by Congress. Because we need solidarity. The only real way to stop the abuse is to shut down the IRS entirely. But, you know, we're still praying for that. We also talked about Amish farmer Sam Girard goes to prison. What a tragedy that is. We talked about Sheriff Mack's video. It's got over 500,000 views, ladies and gentlemen. The live video Tim Starks recorded at the courthouse in Kentucky on the CSPOA Facebook page. Over 500,000 views and growing. So get involved, ladies and gentlemen, today. That was great reporting by Tim Starks, the Liberty News Radio reporter down there live with the video camera, doing a great job. So that was hour one. We talked about that. Hour two, we talked about The Real American, an article written by our buddy Michael Connolly, doing a great job with that. We talked about Dennis Daly joins us to celebrate the 4th and gives a breakdown that we used to be British until we turned the world upside down and stood for freedom, and we can do it again. We call for a national course correction, ladies and gentlemen, a return to morality. Isn't it about time? We talked about Donald Trump drains big part of swamp. Wow, that's good news. We pray that continues for sure. We talked about dead on the 4th of July when three presidents died on the holiday. Americans saw the work of God. And I celebrate death. Not that I want people to die, and I sure hope they don't die in difficult circumstances, but you know what? Death is part of life, and death is returning home to our Maker. And I think Americans are right to see the work of God in it. I was born on the 4th of July, ladies and gentlemen. I turned 50 years old yesterday. That was an interesting experience. Happy Independence Day, writes John Tate, Campaign for Liberty, doing a great job. We finished by talking about a couple of final stories. A man tried to use fireworks, I guess, to take out bees in his garage, and I guess he just burned down the garage instead. I guess the good news, Kurt would say, is at least the bees are gone. So is the garage. But hey, talking about good news here, right? An armed 11-year-old boy saves fishing buddies from a charging bear. You know, I always talk about guns as rape me nots, you know? Anyway, I guess this was a maul me not. Nobody got mauled by that bear. Took that sucker out with buckshot, right? Normally used to scare bears away. But, you know, you get multiple shots in close proximity, and it's going to do some damage, and I guess that's what happened. But the 11-year-old was able to save his family, and thank heavens he had one of those, you know, kill me nots going on. That was the good news yesterday for the 4th of July. So it is the 5th of July. Did you recover from the 4th? Are you doing all right? Fantastic. There's a lot to talk about in the broadcast today. That's a recap of yesterday's hard-hitting live broadcast. Today, news the networks refuse to use starts now. Kurt Crosby's with me. Welcome to the broadcast, and did you have a delightful 4th, sir?
Buenos dias. Greetings and salutations. Howdy, howdy, howdy. Thank you, Sam. Yeah, we had a great time. A little barbecue, a little patriotism, a little fireworks, you know, a little all that kind of stuff, you know.
All right, that's good. Mm-hmm. You didn't blow up your garage, did you?
No, didn't.
All right, good. I'm liking that.
Yeah.
All right, now I guess National Public Radio has a tradition, Kurt. Do you know about this tradition from NPR? Government-sponsored, government-funded radio?
Let's see, they take our money.
Well, of course.
And, let's see, that's been going on for a long time. That's
yes,
tradition
sir?
For them.
They actually have a pretty good tradition, Kurt.
Oh, this is a good tradition.
Yes, sir.
Oh, okay, all right, go ahead.
They read the Declaration of Independence, and they have journalists take turns, and they read it, and they tweet it.
Huh. Wow, they don't change it?
No, sir. They just get her
done.
See, NPR is far from perfect, and I reject their government funding, but believe it or not, they're better than a lot of the so-called conservative news agencies, Kurt.
Mm-hmm.
At least they, you know, for example, you know, when Ron Paul was running for president, the more so-called conservative the news organization, the more abusive they were to Ron Paul. NPR didn't like Ron Paul, but they were at least decent in their reporting. They at least treated him decently. All right, well, the same thing's true here. I don't think that the NPR folks are just like lovers of the Declaration necessarily, but they do read it. It's tradition, and they, you know, give these journalists an opportunity to be the narrator for that or whatever, to the deliverer, and, you know, good for them for doing so. Well, here's the problem. They followed that tradition, Kurt. They read that dude, and they tweeted that sucker, right? The problem with it is Trump supporters freaked out.
Freaked out?
Yeah, Trump supporters flipped out, according to the Huffington Post, because they thought that, well, they didn't realize it was the words of the Declaration. They just thought that NPR was calling for revolution. Now, that's what the Huffington Post would like you to believe, Kurt. My question to you is, what Trump supporters are we talking about? How many are really that ignorant and were really that deceived? And is it just a weird group of people that maybe went off and then the Huffington Post is acting like it's everybody? And so all I'm telling you is when you dig into the details, you got to start to ask some real questions, right?
Good.
And in this case, they're making it sound like, oh, man, all the patriots are just celebrating freedom like NPR and all these socialist groups. That, man, those Trump supporters don't even know what freedom is, you know? All I'm telling you is I appreciate the Huffington Post bringing this up, but it is, you know, instructive to discuss the Declaration of Independence. Now, I believe it's a great document. I believe it's a document relating to the era of the founding, and it highlights some fundamental self-evident truths that all men are created equal. Now, I know people, you know, go ballistic on that phrase too, Kurt. What does it mean when they say all men are created equal? Have you thought about that? Does it mean all men are 5'10 and 200 pounds and muscly as all get out and whatever? Does it mean all men are 6'6 and You know, does it mean all men have the same intelligence? Does it mean that all men start out with the same amount of money? What does it mean, Carrot? A lot of people get deceived on this, and I've got my own interpretation here that I can break down. But what do you think that means? All men are created equal, endowed by their creator with unalienable rights.
Well, that's where it tells you what they are. You know, it answers
You're
that.
You're saying you can just
right
read
after.
It and it'll answer it, Carrot?
Yeah, when you read that they're created equal and then they're endowed by their creator with unalienable rights.
Let's break that down and talk about that a little bit more, because I think that's kind of a fundamental reality we should talk about. We'll do it in seconds. Sam Bushman, Kirk Crosby, we are live on the 5th. Breaking everything down just for you. All kinds of news the networks refuse to use coming your way. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Live. Are you familiar with the term vigor? Strength in body and mind? He pursued his tennis game with vigor, for example? Well, I hadn't, but I learned about it from Kirk Crosby. All right? And he actually let me take a scientifically proven free vigor test. And I got 13 out of 32, not very good. But I worked on it with him. And believe it or not, now I have a 29 out of 32 and improving vigor score. You say, Sam, what on earth is this scientific vigor score, huh? My response is you got to take the free test available now. Get a hold of Kirk Crosby to learn about it. The number is 801-669-2211. That's 801-669-2211. Or email Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com. That's Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com for your free vigor test today. Kurt, libertyroundtable.com, or 801-669-2211. Vigor test free, scientifically proven today.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
Begging politicians, bureaucrats, and educrats, and all do-gooders to please obey the supreme law of the land, the Constitution. This is Liberty Roundtable.
All right, back with you live. We're talking about what on earth does all men are created equal, endowed by their creator with unalienable rights. What does that mean? I think people are confused on that. I think people think that means that everybody's identical. You know, we're all identical twins. That isn't the truth at all. Kurt Wisely says you got to read the rest of that, endowed by their creator with unalienable rights, to understand. And I think what it means is that God, well, we're all the offspring of God, says the Bible, and we're all God's children, which means he loves us. He's truly our father. And so, you know what? We all qualify for God's love. We all have an opportunity to qualify for God's blessings. It depends on if we do what he asks us to do. In other words, keep my commandments is one of the phrases that God gives us. And if we do so, we qualify for many, many blessings he has in store for us. Liberty is one of them. Biblically speaking, God says, you turn to me and I'll heal your land. You repent and I'll heal your land and take care of you and protect you from enemies. Wow, what a blessing. What an opportunity. What a simple idea that the founders well understood. But I bring this up because I don't think that all men are created equal from a physical standpoint. I mean, look, some men are born blind, such as myself. That's not equal to, say, Kurt, who can see. Kurt's taller than I am. Kurt's smarter than I am. I'm faster than Kurt is, though. So that's what I got going on. All right, now, I'm just telling you, you know, so all men are not created equal physically or mentally at all. There's different intelligences, no doubt. Some men are black, some men are white. When we say all men are created equal, I think we're talking about that God loves us all. and that we all can qualify for his blessings equally. I think it also means that when we say all men are created equal, that government should look at men with equality as well. And you would say, well, Sam, the founders don't believe that. They were slave owners. Yeah, they also were born into this slavery scenario. Most of these people were slave owners before they were even old enough to make their own decisions. And it's not something that you get rid of in a generation. Many of the founders found slavery abhorrent. Many of them were very good and secret to their slaves. And many of them released their slaves upon their deaths. Okay, they meant well, but you just can't change society on a dime. It's taken a long time for this good to happen. But we also, when we say all men are created equal, I think it relates to women, Kurt. I think that, you know what, before God, neither is the man without the woman or the woman without the man. I think it relates to women. And so I think that women have standing as daughters of God, equal to sons of God, male and female created to them. And the sons and daughters of God can qualify for his blessings by obedience to his commandments all the same. And government should look at male and female the same as well. And when I say the same, I don't mean identical. I mean with not equal, but with equality. See? That you have rights that are given to us by God. The right of self-defense, for instance. The right to life, liberty, and property. See, these are fundamental. And so I don't think that we need to read too far into the founder's intent here. I just think they're simply acknowledging a reality. You know what? In America, we don't have this king or this royalty status. What we've got is, you know what? Sons and daughters of God that all want the same thing, freedom. And all deserve freedom based on their willingness to obey. All right? There's cause and effect. Or there's action and consequence. And you take great actions according to God's laws, and you're going to have wonderful results and blessings. If you choose wrongly and make choices against God, you will lose those blessings. Some would call it cursings. But literally, agency and choice has everything to do with it. Okay? And so when we're talking about this equality before God, I think it's male and female. And I think it's all walks of life. It doesn't mean you're going to economically be equal to somebody else. But I think that this instructive reality from the Declaration of Independence is not only how God views us, but how government is mandated to view us. And most importantly, how we ought to view ourselves in relation to others. In other words, I ought to esteem Kurt or you or anybody else as myself. I ought to be as concerned about Kurt's rights as my own. And in that spawns the idea of the golden rule. Do unto others as you would like them to do unto you. I think it's a great golden rule. And I think if we could live by that mantra, we'd be much better off as a society. But I want to take the golden rule even a step further, Kurt. Treat others as you know they would like to be treated. And I know that sounds a little bit weird, but I think it's on purpose. Let me give you an example. I would love if when my wife makes me eggs that she puts super hot salsa in it. It's just what I like. And she knows it and she does it just because she loves me and she wants to, you know, put salsa in my eggs because she knows I like that. When I make eggs for her, though, I wouldn't put hot salsa in her eggs, Kurt, even though do unto others as you would like them to do unto you. Well, that logic would put hot salsa in her eggs, wouldn't it? That's not exactly what it means. If you take it a step further, you say, do unto others as you know they would like done to them. In other words, be kind to other people, treat them as equals, but do things that you know would make them happy and be good for them and do what's right. You know, I mean, I wouldn't buy my wife a shotgun for Christmas or a hunting rifle. That's not what she would want, even though I may. See? And so the step up of that guideline would be to treat others as you know they would like to be treated. Kindly, with dignity, with respect, and with personal respect and dignity. Speaking of all this, our next story kind of dovetails to this nicely. I mentioned that, you know what, we're all equal before God and we should be before government in terms of our right to life. Well, this is important, Kurt, when we talk about, well, this young infant, 10-month-old Charlie Gard. I guess he's not as equal as everybody else, is he, Kurt?
Well, you know, his main problem, Sam, is he lives in an even more socialistic country than we live in, and the
but if he was in America, he'd be protected for sure, wouldn't he, Kurt?
Well, I couldn't really say that, but they got something over there called the EHCR. Now you
shut that sucker down.
I think it should be the ECHR because it's the European Court of Human Rights. So, you know, yeah, okay. So one part in the story, it has an ECHR and the other one EHCR. So I think they messed it up the first
time. He's got some dyslexic folks that are a little less equal, Kurt, than some better writers. You know what I'm talking about?
Anyway, this European Court of Human Rights has ruled against a what they call potentially life-saving treatment for this little 10-month-old baby named Charlie Gard. They say they want to shut off his life support, and they blocked him from travel to the U.S. for experimental treatment, for which, by the way, his parents have raised $1.7 million. Doctors diagnosed the infant boy with a rare mitochondrial disease. That's according to a report from what's called the Daily Mail. Pretty good source of news, I think. The court labeled the guard's appeal case inadmissible. You know, just kind of like saying, you're out of here. And they upheld the previous decision of the UK High Court, saying that their decision in Gard's case was final. Yeah. But anyway, now you've got, for example, the president has now, I guess you could say, chimed in. He's tweeted
when
about it.
When you say
it.
The president, let's be clear, you're talking about the United States president, Donald Trump,
yes,
now, right?
That's right. He's tweeted about it, offered his help and support. You know, and now even the Vatican, there, the Children's Hospital at the Vatican has offered help. Anyway, bottom line is...
the real question is, will these bureaucrats that, on high at this court who made this edict, will they back off and let reason and pro-life viewpoints take precedent here? And will they humble themselves and back down and let saving opportunities happen?
Well, yeah, and then the other big question to really be answered is, whose child is it? Is it
Wait
the government's
minute.
Child?
Of course not, Kurt. It's the parents, Good and the point. Parents want the treatment, and they're against this pro-death agenda, right?
That's right. That's right.
Well, they're really not against the pro-death agenda as much as they are for the pro-life agenda.
Pro-life. Mm-hmm.
I mean, I guess the two are mutually exclusive in a sense, but all I'm telling you is that the family wants the treatment desperately, and I pray.
Yeah, and there's been a U.S. hospital that's offered free treatment to the terminally ill baby.
Well, how do we just simply,
good stuff.
Fly this baby on in and get the pro-life support needed, Kirk? How do we get that done?
Very good question.
You gotta defy belligerent pro-death government, don't you?
Exposing corruption. Informing citizens. Pursuing liberty. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
With Liberty News this hour, I'm Dennis Daly. Politicians in the Illinois House of Representatives have voted to increase the personal income tax rate by 32% and the corporate rate by nearly the same. The tax hike had the support of 23 Republicans. The GOP governor issued a statement saying he will support the tax hike if it is limited to a 4-year period and there is a 4-year freeze on property taxes. If politicians don't submit the tax increase with the governor's qualifications, well, the governor says he'll veto it. The U.S. Navy continues to watch a destroyer it sent into the South China Sea about 80 or 90 hours ago. It came within 12 nautical miles of Triton Island in the Paracel Islands. Triton is claimed by China, also by Taiwan and Vietnam. China has controlled the island since seizing it from Vietnam in the 70s. The freedom of navigation exercise took place just after a number of high-profile events around China had taken place. President Trump and the prime ministers of Korea and Japan agreed to increase pressure on North Korea. But we know what happened during the last 24 hours. You're listening to LibertyNewsDaily.com.
Audio Compass is the perfect software solution for remote broadcasting. Consider Audio Compass for sporting events, talk show hosts, sound bites from the field, and more. Allow Audio Compass to transfer low-delay, crystal-clear audio over the Internet. AudioCompass.com.
There is a place you can go to get up to speed quickly on all the stories that matter to freedom-loving people. GovernAmerica.com features news and commentary about Agenda 21, technocracy, the economy, border violence, and more. Go to GovernAmerica.com. That's GovernAmerica.com.
With Liberty News, I'm Dennis Daly.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
With news the networks refuse to use. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right, the pro-life issue is critical, ladies and gentlemen, and I appreciate Donald standing up and changing things internationally and reversing Barack Hussein's view on the pro-death agenda, promoting abortion around the world. Good for Donald standing up for pro-life. Now we're expecting Gorsuch on the courts, and we're expecting, and by the way, good for the Donald pudding. Neil Gorsuch on the court, and now we need to really push for pro-life. We need Congress in the mix, the courts in the mix, and we got to get this done. That's one of the most important, in my humble opinion, efforts Donald Trump could make, backing the sacred principles that made America great. And I bring this up because this poor little boy, 10-month-old Charlie Gard, hopefully we can turn that around and give the parents an opportunity to do what they think best for their child. And hopefully we can have a reality check on that thing. All right, Kurt. I guess Silicon Sally is the headline. Japanese find true love with sex dolls is the headline. Now you say, Sam, what are you talking about? You were just celebrating the 4th of July. You were just talking about pro-life. You were just talking about the Declaration of Independence and how important these issues are. And how does this relate, Sam? And my response is we're talking about morality. Okay, morality is critical if we want God's blessings. And I'm telling you right now, the pro-death agenda and the belligerent violation of God's laws when it comes to sexual relationships or promiscuity is at the heart of all this, Kurt. You deny people proper relationships that are God-ordained, where there is appropriate, you know, sexual activity. And you deny all that and you promote sex in every way except for the way God would have us be engaged in that sacred institution or sacred act of procreation. And so whenever it's a good, righteous, procreative act between a husband and a wife or an act to bring a husband and wife legally and lawfully married together as God's law would have it, they reject that. But any other type of perversion, any other type of violating God's laws is fine. And I bring this up because I believe that the murder rate, that the abortion rate, are directly linked to this sexual immorality going on. And so, to me, these are directly related issues. If we're going to stand for pro-life, it starts with morality. So tell us about Silicon Sally and these Japanese men that aren't getting married, right, Kurt?
Well, some of them, Sam, according to this story, I mean, some of them are literally, they're married and they, like in this one guy's case, he's a physiotherapist. I think that's how you say it. He said, after my wife gave birth, we stopped having sex and I felt a deep sense of loneliness. He says, but the moment I saw Mayu, M-A-Y-U, in the showroom, that's this one of these silicone dolls, it was love at first sight. He takes his doll on dates in a wheelchair and dresses her in wigs and jewelry. He said, my wife was furious when I first brought Mayu home. These days she puts up with it, reluctantly. Anyway, the story says he also admits to being turned off by human relationships. He says Japanese women are cold-hearted. He says while on a seaside stroll with a silicone squeeze, it says, isn't there some scripture that says in the last days there'll be a men's hearts will grow cold, or maybe that was women's too. But anyway,
well, yeah, and if you're going to compare a real live daughter of God's heart to a heartless doll and try to make the comparison that, you know, the woman's got this cold heart and that, you know, maybe your wife would have a little bit more of less of a warm heart for you if you're off with a doll. All I'm telling you is, see, again, when you turn the laws of God upside down, Kurt, and you engage in these selfish pleasures as opposed to selfless, true love ordained on God's law, you know, everything's turned upside down, my friend.
Right. That's right. This one guy said he's 62 years old, and he says human beings are so demanding. I guess he bathes his rubber girlfriend, people always want something from you, like money or commitment, he complained. And this guy,
I got a question. What's wrong with commitment, Kurt? And that's one of the big keys, in my opinion, where we got a problem in our society. We don't commit to God. We don't commit to, in my opinion, God's ordained family. Okay, now when you say all they want is money, well, if you marry the right woman, she's not just after money. I'm sure, you know, my wife would agree that money's necessary to raise our family and to pay our bills and to do things. You know, it's one of those things that's necessary. At the same time, my wife's not running around demanding all kinds of money and all kinds of things. She's just not. Now, she does appreciate my commitment, which I freely and willingly give her. But all I'm telling you is I'm grateful for the same as well. I don't think it's a demanding thing as much as it's an appreciation thing. If you look at it right, Kurt, I give my commitment as a sign of respect and appreciation. I give my heart to her willingly, and she does the same. And we have this understanding, and no doubt we have demands on each other. But
well, like you talked about that hot sauce in your eggs, you know, I mean,
I don't really demand.
That's pretty
that.
Demanding. Oh, okay.
I'm grateful when she puts it in there and stuff. But yeah, what I'm saying is, I think all of us are demanding to some degree, but it also depends on how the demands are delivered.
Yeah.
You know, I'm sure if this guy's treating his wife like a sex doll, and then she's maybe not very interested, and so he goes out and gets a real doll, I can see the problem.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you had to go about it a little different instead of thinking, oh my gosh, all she wants is money and demanding everything. Maybe he ought to think, you know what? When we first fell in love, I was more than willing to do those things. It wasn't demanding then.
Right.
And maybe he ought to bring back a little bit of that romance, a little bit of that selfless service, a little less selfishness, a little more selflessness. Maybe he ought to look at, you know, doing things for his wife as a way to show love. To me, love's an action word. Maybe he ought to spend a little bit more time thinking, I'm honoring and serving my God when I serve my wife and my family and those around me. And you know what? I freely give them my time and my money. They don't have to demand it, Kurt.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe I'm, you know, but to me, that's the source of the problem here. We got a selfless problem.
That's right. Yeah.
A lack of selflessness.
This one guy says, he says reconciliation with his estranged wife is unlikely. He says, I don't want to destroy what I have with her, not his wife, his is this silicone doll. He says, to me, she's human. I think this guy's got a little problem, but anyway, or a massive problem. They say as Japan struggles with a plummeting birth rate, a growing number of men known as herbivores are turning their backs on love and traditional masculine values for a quiet, uncompetitive life. this one guy says, in the future, I think more and more guys will choose relationships with dolls. Man, I just don't get it. One guy said, it's less stress, and they complain a lot less than women.
I don't find when you do the things that you're supposed to do a lot of complaining, stuff. Personally, Kurt.
I know.
Well, maybe I just got the best wife on the planet, you know, and I'm not saying there's not a complaint here or there. She has complaints on occasion, and so do I. But 99 out of 100 times I find when my wife has a complaint, it's because there's something that I really probably should be doing different. Now, I know that would be kind of demanding if I looked at it that way, but I look at it as the opportunity to improve personally.
Like this one guy's name is Hyodo, and he's, they say, a military buff. He lives alone, but he has an understanding girlfriend. That's probably the problem. Needs a wife. Says owns more than 10 of these life-size dummies, many of which he dresses in combat uniform to play out wartime fantasies.
That I'm sure his girlfriend's just not willing to go along with.
Yeah, I think she's probably thinking, man, this guy's whacked out. But one guy says, people think I'm weird. But it's no different than collecting. He says it's no different than collecting sports cars. I don't know how much I've spent.
Hold on. It's... Sex dolls are no different than collecting sports cars?
I know. I'm just telling what he said.
All right. I'm not for collecting either, personally. I put my money into my children.
Good point. He says, I don't know how much I've spent, but it's cheaper than a Lamborghini. Anyway, it's just a strange world we live in, Sam. And one guy's wife says, she says it's hard to ignore the rubber temptress silently taunting her from her husband's bedroom. She says, I just get on with the housework. I make the dinner, I clean, I do the washing. I just choose sleep over sex. Too bad.
Well, maybe. I got this brilliant idea when we come back, okay, ladies? I'm telling you, it's brilliant. Hang tight. Liberty Roundtable Live.
Attention Liberty News Radio listeners. Hard-hitting talk radio has never been and never will be supported by the mainstream in America. Hard-hitting talk radio is taking on the mainstream press like never before. News the networks refuse to use is one of the best ways to educate people. We invite all liberty-loving Americans to join with us to restore the principles of our founding fathers and promote God, family, and country in the media and our lives. Please help spread the liberty message with your generous donation. You can go online at libertynewsradio.com right now and make a donation online. Or call 801-756-9133 and make a donation over the phone. That's libertynewsradio.com and 801-756-9133. Make a donation today.
As the United States boldly stepped forward in the glorious light provided by its new Constitution in 1787, the nations of the earth were in awe of the newfound strength and hope of this free land. Today, the nation stands at a crossroads. A divergence from the original intent put forth in the United States Constitution has brought grave threats to our beloved nation. A miracle is needed if the United States is to survive. That miracle is again the pure application of the United States Constitution. I'm Scott Bradley. In my To Preserve the Nation book and lecture series, I bring forth truths that will help raise up a new generation of statesmen like those noble Americans who founded this land. Vigorous application of these principles will invigorate and restore the nation, and we may become again the freest, most prosperous, most respected, and happiest nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com to begin that restoration.
promoting God, family, and country. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Radio.
We're talking about Silicon Sally. Japanese men find true love with sex dolls. The headline's a lie. You don't find true love that way at all. Nevertheless, they say these women have cold hearts, as if their dolls have hearts at all. But nevertheless, this one guy, this Japanese guy, says, man, you know, my dolls are awesome. They're, you know, collecting my sex dolls are just like, you know, collecting sports cars, except cheaper. His wife says, you know, I just don't know what to do about this temptress doll in the other room. I just end up doing the housework, and when I get done, I choose sleep over sex. And so I had this brilliant idea for this gentleman. The idea might be this, Kurt. Mm-hmm. Make a candlelight dinner for your wife.
Oh, yeah.
All right? And then treat her like she's somebody special. Like there's a reason that you married her and chose her.
Amen to that.
And then when you're doing that, then, you know, create meaningful conversation with her. Your doll, I mean, you know, Siri's decent at directions. But Sally ain't a great conversationalist, you know. And talk to your wife about her life, about her hopes, about her dreams, and make her feel like a person again. Make her feel like the daughter of God and the only one in the world, according to your heart, if you will. And then what you ought to do is you ought to help her with all that housework, Kurt. Just bust out and work right alongside her and do that housework together as mm-hmm. husband and wives. And when you get that done, you know what? Your wife just might have a little more interest, Kurt. I don't want to get more salacious than that, but all I'm telling you is she might be a little more interested if you do that stuff.
Wow. And you could save money on those.
We don't even need to buy any of those dolls, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, what you could do is you could buy little teeny dolls that would sit on a shelf instead, Kurt, and give your wife little presents when you travel or something like that.
Yeah, or little whatever she
trinkets,
wants.
Whatever. Yeah. I'm just giving an example of, you know, something mm-hmm. that might be a little less violation of the commandments of God and a little more family-centric. Anyway, if there's more on that, you know, we could certainly talk about it. I don't think there's much more to say except for, folks, we're all wrong in our heads.
I agree.
Mm-hmm. You got more on this?
No.
All right, well, in relationship to this, one of the statements you made is that the birth rate in Japan is falling like a rock because all these men are involved in these dolls and women aren't getting pregnant, Kurt.
Yeah, they say it's people are just too busy, you know, that kind of thing.
Too busy
but
with their dolls.
But haven't we been pushing the whole idea that, you know, children are kind of a pain, etc. They're not a blessing, and they're, you know, and then, you know, governments are surprised when people don't have children.
Well, Kurt, you know, it depends on when you say we. As a society, yes. Now, we on this radio program have been talking wonderfully about children for decades, and we've been leading by example. I've got, me and my wife have 8 children. You and your wife have 11 children. We're leading by example. But the reason I bring all this up is, sadly, these trends are not just in Japan, Kurt. They're coming to a doll showroom near you, is how you might say it.
I guess so. Yeah.
And the reason I bring that up is the next headline says this. 2016 statistics show U.S. birth rate at an all-time low, writes Grace Carr for Daily Caller.
Hmm.
And it's a big, long, complicated article. But it talks about the National Center for Health Statistics released this huge decline for women. And the one good thing is they say birth rates among teenagers fell 9%. And so that's good news. Now, but they say everybody's having less children. And one of the most important details in this whole article that I see is they say the birth rate is below, the current fertility rate is below replacement levels, Kurt. And that to me is of great concern. When God says to multiply and replenish the earth, as far as I can see, Kurt, I don't know anywhere that's been rescinded. And you know, when we don't even have replacement levels for ourselves, that's of serious concern. Now, they say, don't worry, the population's not declining because of immigrants, Kurt. That's a problem. But I bring all this up because I think that there's really something we need to think about here. About our behavior. All right? We need to make sure that the fertility rate is not below replacement levels, Kurt. I think this is critical.
Yeah. Good point. We could even, you know, promote the whole idea that, you know, I'm not talking about with government money, but that children are a blessing, that families are a blessing, you know, that husbands and wives should love each other and children should, you know, hopefully bless that marriage. And, you know, I mean, I know it sounds kind of wacky these days, but, you know, That's the kind of stuff that, at least I think, brings the blessings of God.
Now, there's one good piece about this that I find here. Older women are increasing their fertility rate, Kurt.
Mm-hmm. There you go. They're coming to their senses.
All right. Women that are ages 35 to 39 and 40 to 44 are increasing their birth rates. So, you know, the good news here is that teenagers are having less babies. That's good news. I pray it's not that they're involved in procreating and then aborting them. I pray that it's that they're not procreating them in the first place. But secondarily, though, at least, you know, people are wanting children. And so later in life, they're realizing the error of their ways. And they're saying, man, we got to have children now. And that's the good news piece. The negative news is that we're relying on immigration to prop up our birth rates. That's the bad news. The other bad news is that we're, you know, in the prime childbearing years. In other words, women from 20 to 35. That's where the major decline is that I think is tragic. And what we need to do is we need to teach, you know, people that marriage is a wonderful institution between a man and a woman. And when they get together to have their children and to welcome God's children into the world and to do it while you're young and healthy and able to do so. Those prime childbearing years, that's what should happen. Our society teaches all against that, Kurt. But I bring it up because if we obey God's laws and we reject Silicon Sally, and we realize that, you know, hey, the current fertility rate is below replacement level, that's a problem. We can change that. We can repent and get it done. And the sooner we do that, I believe the sooner we'll have blessings from God, Kurt. But if I bring this up, people will just tell you how whacked and crazy and off the beam I am.
Well, I'll give you an example that goes along with this story, Sam. The guys at what's called faithwire.com have a piece that talks about some lady that was what they call a spice girl. They call her an ex-spice girl.
Yeah, so you know what that means, though, right?
Well, I guess it was a music group.
Yeah,
the
Spice Girls
are
a music group. And when she's ex, it means the band broke up, right?
Yeah, or she's too old to be in there or whatever. But you talked about some of these older women coming to their senses. And in this case, the headline reads, God, if you exist, famous singer turns to prayer after struggling to conceive and receives awesome gift.
And I think that's a wonderful blessing we should celebrate, but I would submit to you that, you know, this rejection of children when these women are young may be part of the reason that she's had such a hard time conceiving in the first place, too.
It's a great point.
And we could go into the details there, but all I'm telling you is we, you know, do everything we can to make sure a baby doesn't come, and then when we want one, we're like, hey, what's wrong? This is supposed to be an on-demand thing. My response is, you know what, it doesn't really work that way, folks.
It's a great point. She told the Toronto Sun in a recent interview that she decided to appeal to God one day when she was uncertain whether naturally conceiving her baby with husband, Christian Horner, would be possible. She's 44 and wasn't quite sure if having another kid would even be possible. Her daughter said to her, please don't give up. Sometimes in life, when our back is against the wall, you suddenly think, maybe I'm not running this show here. Maybe there's something bigger than myself.
Maybe I'm here to testify, ladies and gentlemen, that God is in his heavens. He did create the heaven and the earth. He did create his children, his sons and his daughters, male and female, created them. And his real plan is for the sons and daughters of God to marry, to be legally and lawfully wedded, and then to procreate within that marriage, to bring children to the earth and love them and have fidelity to one another and create this nucleus of stability and safety and protection and love and growth that is a huge blessing. And you know what? Good for the Spice Girl getting caught up on that, Kurt. And then she prayed, and I guess she got pregnant.
Yeah, that's right. She says the ex-Spice Girl, whose stage name was Ginger, said she decided to turn to prayer and ask God for help.
Well, God is
good.
Said,
I actually said a prayer. I went, God, if you exist, then I'll have a baby naturally. I swear on my life, that's what I did, she says. I put my hands together and I prayed, and 2 months later I got pregnant. It was really bizarre. I was like, okay, that's testimony. That's something in life. Maybe there is something bigger. She had her son, Monty, in January, whom she said is a little gift. While the singer didn't seem too bent on sharing her definition of who God is, she did credit the pregnancy to a higher power. This little baby, Monty,
Kurt,
felt
let that
like,
be enough in the celebration for now.
Yeah, felt like this little gift from something bigger. Whatever we choose to believe in, she said, I just did acupuncture and prayer, and that was it. So...
Well, she did something else.
She included spending time with her husband.
Well, let me articulate this a little further, though, and I don't need to be salacious in doing so. She took part in the God-ordained, appropriate, procreative sexual act that is designed by God to bring a husband and a wife legally and lawfully married together and to bring children to the earth. And when you do that, blessings come.
Cool.
All right, it's that simple of a discussion. If we want God's blessings, if we want him to heal our land, the sooner we turn to him, the better off we will all be. And the United States, of all places, a Christian land, should be a beacon on a hill to teach these principles worldwide. And that's what we on the radio intend to do. Your finances and your support in every way would be greatly appreciated. LibertyRoundtable.com, LibertyNewsRadio.com. We declare we the people. Along with the grace of the Almighty, we can and will restore America. Only thing left is, will you help? This nation shall endure.